By the way, when we talk about beauty, it's not just in the face or in the jewelry or in the clothing. We're talking about inner beauty. Hallelujah. Inner beauty, godliness, righteousness, humility, faith, perseverance. That's the true beauty. That's what you really want to adorn yourself with as a spiritual person. Amen. Let's pray. Just thank God. Thank God you are in church today. Thank God you have the opportunity to hear the word of God. Can you just thank God that He has not forgotten about you? Now, it's a good prayer. Because I believe that some people in this church, sometimes you pray to God and say, have you forgotten me? Why don't you change that prayer today and say, thank you, Father God, because you have not forgotten me. Thank you for how far you've brought me. Thank you because of where you are taking me. You have not forgotten. Thank you because you will never, never, never leave me. Come on, pray that prayer. You will never, never forsake me. Thank you because you are taking me to that my promised land. Thank you because in some part of my life today, things may look difficult or uncertain. But I'm going to come through it and I'm going to come on top. Just like you've done it before in the other aspects of my life. And I just thank you for this. I put my confidence in you. I refuse to worry. I refuse to waste the moment, the day, because of worry about the future. I trust you. Thank you because I will have testimony. And thank you because I will serve you. Because actually you are the greatest treasure of all. To you be all the praise. Father, we ask that you bless our sermon today. We ask that you speak to us. We ask that you refreshing our soul. Bible says you lead us beside the still waters. And you refreshing, you restore our soul. So as we listen to your word, let your power move to refreshing and restore. Refreshing our spirit, restore our soul. Strengthen our bodies. Inspire us with your word. Touch us by your spirit. Transform us by your glory. Lift us up. Let your power flow to destroy every yoke in our lives. And to remove every burden in our lives. And to break every chain in our lives. For in Jesus' name, we are prayed. And the church said, please turn to your neighbor. Tell them that God loves you. Stephen, God loves you. He loves you. You are his beloved son. Amen. You know, when Jesus came into the world and John the Baptist was baptizing him, the Bible says that, you know, John recorded. He recorded, he said, and he saw the heavens open and the Spirit of God descend like a dove. And a voice came from heaven saying what? This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Amen. Now listen, as at that time, Jesus was the only Son of God. Hallelujah. But Jesus is not the only Son of God, no. Because as many as received him, what did he do? He gave them the power, the right to become the sons of God. So now Jesus is the firstborn among many brethren. Hallelujah. Sister, I'm a son of God. That's my identity. My identity is not African. Neither is it British. Hallelujah. I'm an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. And anywhere I go, that is my first interest. So say, you're losing your identity. I'm not. I'm reinforcing it. Hallelujah. I'm reinforcing my identity by the word. That's who I am. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Today we're talking about the fight of faith. And I just want to also emphasize to us the relationship between faith and faithfulness. Faith is not just about asking things from God. Faith is a relationship. Hallelujah. Open your Bible to Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6. Faith is what? A relationship. That's what the Bible says. Faith works by love. Faith is a relationship. What is faith? A relationship. It's a relationship between you and God. Hallelujah. God wants to be in relationship with you in every part of your life. God is not disconnected from your struggles. Hallelujah.
But God is not a Father Christmas. He wants to walk with you, or he wants you to walk with him that journey through whatever you're going through until you come out on top, and yet the glory will go to him and the blessings will come to you. He said, that's the deal. Hallelujah. This is the way God wants to operate. The glory goes to him, the blessing comes to you. When blessing comes to you, but glory doesn't go to God, there is a problem. If God blesses me and I go and use that blessing for my selfish purposes, there is a problem. God is not glorified. Hallelujah. If I go about what I want or what I need in a way that does not honor God, God is not glorified. Hallelujah. The person who I went to, you know, their workplace and then committed fraud. Yeah, they have not yet been caught. They have money. They got what? Money. But they didn't get it the right way. They got it by fraud. Now, you are looking at them and say, they are blessed. But are they truly blessed? No. You know why they are not truly blessed? Tell me why they are not truly blessed. They got money. You know what I mean? But they stole it. And I'm saying that. You are looking and say, oh God, why have you forgotten me? Look at my classmate. Why are they not truly blessed?
Thank you, Pastor. Because the blessing is not from God.
Any better is correct. It's correct, by the way. Anyone, can you say it in a different way? Why are they not truly really blessed?
They won't have a peace of mind.
Yes. Well, some people don't even care. But yeah, you're right. Why are they not truly blessed? Though they got the money.
Because God is not glorified in that way.
Because God is not glorified. Hallelujah. That's the point. I want you to understand that the whole purpose of life, of your life as a believer, is that God should be glorified. I may get what I want. People may congratulate me on what I want. But if God is not glorified, I miss the most important thing. Hallelujah. The relationship is broken. Hallelujah. God wants you to be blessed. But he wants to be glorified in your blessing. Did you get it? Perfect deal. Perfect deal. Hallelujah. God wants to be glorified in your blessing. God wants to be glorified in your life. That's why God is not a Father Christmas. Hallelujah. It's a relationship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the more God is glorified in your life, the greater the blessing of God that will flow in your life. And let me just make this point very clear. Your blessing is not just about money. Hallelujah. It's much more than money. Of course, God guarantees that your needs will be met. But you see, if God is not glorified in your money, the money will destroy you. Because the first thing that money will do is take you away from God. Yes, ma'am, you don't have time. You don't have time for church. You don't have time for prayer. You don't have time for Bible study. Yeah? You work hard. Then you sit down by the TV. Yeah? Drinking alcohol and relaxing with a movie. And you know why you do it? Because you need to reward yourself for your hard work. See, that's how the devil wins in the life of Christians. See, that's not my portion. In Jesus' name. Okay, let's move on to the teaching. And just explain to you. Today I want to encourage your faith. I want to stimulate your faith. So, let's read 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 12 quickly. I have a lot to give back, unpack in the next 40 minutes. So, let's see what you can do. 1 Timothy 6, 12. If you are here today, you are feeling weak, receive strength in Jesus' name. 1 Timothy 6, 12. Yes, who will that person be? Yes. Who is ready? Yes, go for it. 1 Timothy 6, 12.
Fight the good fight. Fight the good fight for the true faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you, which you have declared so well before many witnesses.
Amen. Let's have another version. King James or New King James? Yes. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12.
It says, fight the good fight of faith.
Fight the good fight of faith. Just wait, sir. The point I want me to understand that faith, there is a good fight of faith.
Faith is not passive. So what this means is that if you are going to be lazy, laziness can compromise you in every part of your life, including spiritually. Laziness is not spiritual. Amen. It doesn't say like, oh, I just sit down, do my own thing, and then God does it all. It doesn't work that way. Amen. It works in partnership, in cooperation. Anything God does, it needs the cooperation of man. Anything. That's why someone say, oh, why is God not doing anything? Because men are not cooperating. You say, oh, what about the natural? I said anything God will do in this world, God, man has to cooperate. That's why the will of God is not always being done. And that's why when things happen, you don't say, well, let's just accept that the will of God. No, you are speculating. If you want to know the will of God, check the Bible. You can see his perfect will. Hallelujah. He said, God is not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That is the perfect will of God. He said, the thief comes not, but to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come that you will have life and have it abundantly. That's the perfect will of God. He said, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health as your soul. That means that if I'm prospering and my soul is not prospering, that is not the will of God. Hallelujah. So not everything, in fact, most things that happen in this world are not the will of God. That's why we pray, thy kingdom and thy will be done as it is. There's no point praying that prayer if the will of God is always being done. Hallelujah. But the will of God is being done in the life of people who cooperate with God. Say, I will cooperate. Hallelujah. And you know, as you said that, I just remembered, you know, a scenario, I don't know whether it was a movie, where someone was about to be tortured. He'd been boasting before. And then he got a dirty slap. And they said, I will cooperate. Hallelujah. But thank God, because our God is not like that. God does not force you to serve him. He doesn't do it. So why don't you go just put everything right? Do you know the meaning of that statement? As in like saying that, why do innocent children suffer? Why do innocent people suffer? And I'm sure that there are some times in your life that you have been innocent. When I say innocent, in a situation, and you suffered. You knew that you were not guilty, or you knew and you suffered. So why do innocent suffer? Why don't God just put everything right? The reason is this. Nobody is perfectly innocent. You may be innocent in one part of your life, but you are not innocent. You failed somewhere. Because you are human. Do you know? There's something in your life that you've done wrong that only the mercy of God rescued you. Amen? So if God gave justice to everyone, yeah? So that he can execute righteousness, there will be no one left to enjoy the righteousness. Praise the Lord. That of us say it's because of the Lord's mercies that we are not. Now, when you understand that you are a product of mercy, it should make you humble. Hallelujah. It should what? It should make you humble. Hallelujah. It's because the Lord is good and his mercies endure forever. Question: how can we overcome in life? Yes, where's the mic? Yes. How can you overcome in life? We read some verses today. How can you, if you want to overcome your challenge, overcome. And when I say challenge, I mean any challenge, any. It could be in your job, it could be your home, it could be a legal challenge, it could be an health challenge, it could be a financial challenge, family challenge, relationship challenge, anything. How can you overcome in life? How can you go about overcoming? Or are you just helpless? Yes.
Holding on to God's word.
Holding on to God's word. Yes, that's a good answer. You didn't want to help. It's a good answer. I want more answers. It's a good answer. How can you overcome? How can you overcome your battles? Overcome your challenges? Overcome difficult people? Overcome problems and situations. Okay, I'll come to you.
Love.
Love? Yes, that's a good answer. When you say love, what do you mean by love?
The way you fight people.
You mean walking in love?
Yeah, it's walking in love.
Walking in love. So you fight by walking in love. Yes. It's a good answer.
Have trust in God and ready to persevere.
Have trust in God. And I like the other one because he said be ready to. You know, last week we talked about it. He said, and the God of grace. Second, is it 1 Peter 5? He said, after you have suffered a little while. Nobody will quote that one. That it will establish you, it will strengthen you, it will settle you. The suffering there is persevering. Amen? So it's a good one. But you said, hold tight. Did you say hold tightly or something? Hold on to God's word and walk in love and trust and be ready to persevere. Yes, any other one? Two more. Then I move on.
Having a relationship with God.
Yes, maintain that relationship. Don't suspend it. The worst thing you can do when you're going through a hard time in life is suspend. You know, maybe you're tithing. I'm not talking to you. You should have known my pattern now. You know, like Sister Yemina, she's not angry with me. Sometimes I will just come close to you. It's like I'm talking, but I'm not really talking. I'm just engaging. I'm not really, I don't mean the person. You're tithing before, problem came. You suspended that one. You understand? You're coming to church before, problem came. So when I solve my problem, I'll resume church. As if God only wants you when things are good. No, God wants you. You know, actually, when things are bad, that's when you need God most. You know, so maintain that relationship. Because if you don't maintain the relationship, the devil finds it easier to sneak in and start telling you all the wrong things. You start thinking wrongly, start doing things wrongly. You understand? Maintain that relationship. Okay, one more.
Prayer,
yes. Okay, prayer is part of relationship, by the way. So I'll put it under relationship. But. Praise! Yeah, I like praise! Hallelujah! It's also part of relationship. You know, that's what how you maintain your relationship with God. Fellowship, prayer, praise. You praise God whether things are good or not. Praise can change your situation. Praise. Remember that no matter your situation, you have a mouth. So long you can eat and talk, you can praise. Amen? So long you can complain, you can what?
You can praise.
In fact, actually, let me tell you something. A major step to victory in your life is to reduce your complaining. Hallelujah. If you want to feel happier in life, reduce your complaining. Look, there may be reason to, but just keep quiet. Yeah, there may be reason to. You understand? You want to share my story with you and say I do. But it's not that I'm losing. I'm using the higher principle. Hallelujah. It's the principle of victory. Hallelujah. Complaining opens the door. You understand? I have the reason, the feeling to want to complain, but I don't want to open the door. Look at the bigger risk. I'm going to open a door. You're complaining, you're getting nowhere. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Instead of complaining, give thanks. Praise. Someone say praise. And I'm not talking about the one you do in church. I'm also talking about the one you do at home. Hallelujah. The one you do when you are feeling sad. Think about it. You can be feeling sad and still praise God. Because we praise God for who He is. And He changed now. Hallelujah. Next question. So let me just quickly run through my list. When we talk about fighting the good fight of faith, we're not telling you that you have to enter into a battle with the devil. Huh? Let's settle once and for all. You as a human, you can't defeat the devil in your power. If I throw the devil in the wrestling ring and you can't, you're no match. Amen? So it's not a karate fight. Amen? No. Jesus Christ has already won the victory. Can you say that with me? Say Jesus Christ has already won the victory. Even in my current situation. Hallelujah. So, it's about standing in that victory. Amen? It's about identifying with that victory. Amen? It's about persevering in that victory. And say, this victory is mine. Hallelujah.
You see, if you are praying for something, you must wish to stay where you believe that you have received it. Otherwise, you are not praying in faith. The fact that you don't have something does not mean you cannot start living in the reality spiritually. So let's just explain that again. You are believing God for something, but all the physical symptoms says you don't have it. But remember that God, have you seen God? No man has seen God at any time. But Jesus Christ revealed God. Don't get anybody confuse you. Say, how can you say someone? Jesus Christ is the representation of God. And right now, it lives in you through the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. But first and foremost, God is His Spirit. So anything you're going to receive from God, you first receive it in your spirit. If you cannot see it inside as yours, yeah, you are slowing down the process of having it outside. Yeah? When you believe something and you can enter the reality that it's now yours, you will rest. You will rest. It's yours. The battle is over because you've entered the victory spiritually. And if you can, I'm jumping my message. I'll show you the next part. Open to 1 Timothy 6:12. Let me show you a point there. 1 Timothy 6:12. We read it. I just want to read it again and show you a point. So Jesus Christ has already won the victory. First Timothy 6:12. Are you there? I just read it. It says, fight the good fight or faith. Ow! Let me give you a mic. Anybody have King James or New King James? How do you fight the good fight of faith? It's right there in your Bible. Fight the good fight of faith. Ow! I'm sure you're used to my style now.
It says, take hold.
Take hold!
Of the eternal life to which you were called.
Amen. Another version? King James? Let's take hold. There's another word there. Yes, so let me just give you this. Read again. Yeah, from the beginning. 12, verse 12.
Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life.
Lay hold. Somebody say lay hold.
Lay hold.
Who does the laying hold? God or you? Who does the laying hold? God or you? Who gives the eternal life? God or you? Who does the laying hold? God or you? See, that's what many people are not saying. God has already given the eternal life. People have to lay hold on it. They have to take hold. Hallelujah. You have to take hold of it. You take hold of it. And that taking hold first happens spiritually by your faith. You take hold by faith. You take it hold. What does it mean to lay hold? What does it mean to take hold? Give me some other words for taking hold or laying hold. If you want to take hold of something or lay hold of something, how else can you describe that? Yes?
To claim it.
You know, let me just please explain something now that I feel has been really misexplained in the Bible. You know that the parable of this, Jesus told the parable. He said there was a man who had a visitor at night and did not have bread. So he went to his neighbor and kept knocking the door at night. Said, give me some bread for my visitors. Yeah? And the Bible now says that even though the neighbor will not answer because he's already sleeping, his wife and children are sleeping, but so long the man continue to knock, yeah, he will give him. Hallelujah. Now that has been preached many times, like just keep praying and pray forever. No, that's not the meaning. Amen? It's referring more to the boldness, the audacity. Hallelujah. You need to be bold. When you're not bold, you will not claim. Because you don't even believe it's yours. You are begging. Hallelujah. Faith is audacious. Amen. Faith is what? Now, some people can be audacious in the wrong way. You know, some people can be bold and do bad things. You understand? You know the story of the prodigal son? That prodigal son was audacious. It's not a bad thing. He just used it in the wrong way. He said, Father, give me my own portion now! Yeah? Now, imagine the father is God, yeah? Because that's the model, isn't it? The father, the good father, is what? God. Now, if it was wrong to give him, would he give him? He gave him. Yeah? So, in the righteousness of the Father, he judged it right to give him. What, have you never thought about it? Like, why didn't the Father... Because if the Father knew that this boy, and he knew, he's going to take this and go and spend it on prostitutes and alcohol and drinking and partying and wreck his life. Would you have judged it righteous for the Father to still give him? Hello? A good father. Yeah? A good father wants to protect his children, isn't he? But yet he gave this son half of his inheritance. Knowing fully well that there's a probability that he will waste it. Would you call that a good father? Praise the Lord. Let me tell you, that's what God gave you. Free will. You can choose many things about your life. Isn't it? You can even choose not to come to church. And it will not flog your... it will not eat you on the bum. He's a good father. Hallelujah. You know why the Father did it? Because the Father put his faith in his children. Hallelujah. God believes that when you understand his love, you will choose right. But that's not where I'm going. So, the audacity is not wrong. What was wrong? Yeah, well, how he spent the money. Now, the other son, did he ask for inheritance? After they shared it, who owned the second part? The Bible says he shared the inheritance between his two sons. So definitely now, it's like he had a bank account, he opened two accounts. Okay, this one is for you, senior son. This one is for you, younger son. Yeah? That's what he did. They both have two accounts now. Praise the Lord. By the way, what the Father gave them was the inheritance. Not necessarily everything he had. Hallelujah. God remains God. When you are born again, you don't become God. You will never be God. So stop thinking like you are God. You get an inheritance. Younger son went away and misused it. What about the older son? What happened? What did he get wrong? What was the problem with the older son? He had a problem too. You know he had a problem because at the end of the day, he was bitter. What happened?
He didn't claim his inheritance.
He did not take oath. How do we know he didn't take oath? When his brother came, he said, Father, I've been serving you all this while, working and working out. Not even once did you give me a goat, a young goat, to party with my friends. But he had inheritance. Hallelujah. He had inheritance. The job is to use it rightly. Hallelujah. Your inheritance is not the problem. It's how you use it. Prosperity itself is not the problem. God wishes that you prosper. But as your soul prosper, it's how you use it. It's like today when we were setting up the church with Sama. I went to get some things from the car, some instruments. And that boot was open as I was parking. I just spoke to the car. I said, that's your purpose. You are a useless car if I not use it to serve God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your inheritance, the purpose is that you use it to glorify God. Your talents, the purpose is that you use it what? Within that, you can enjoy the prosperity of God. The connection between the glory of God and the blessing of God. So you have to claim it. That's what I'm trying to say. You don't have, you see, every time you are sick, you're only going to use it profane. You know, I'm not talking to you now. You are not claiming. You have to claim it if you want to experience it. Don't blame God at all. To enjoy eternal life, which is victory, you need to lay hold. Someone say lay hold. Take hold. Someone say take hold. Claim it. Any other word for laying hold? Any other? Oh, that one is my list. I mean, I want to hear that again. What do you need to do?
Hold tightly.
You need to hold tightly. Let me explain that. The fact that you took hold of something does not mean you cannot still slip away. Let me tell you one of the ways you can be slip away. When situation distracts you, you will drop it. When Satan comes to challenge you, yeah? If you are not holding tightly, you have to hold. That's the fight of faith. The fight of faith is to take hold and hold tightly until you enter the victory. Hallelujah. Satan will attempt to annoy you. Situation will come to irritate you. Things will arise to tempt you, discourage you, confuse you. But what do you need to do? Hold tightly. If you want a victory that will bless you and glorify God. Because if you don't hold tightly, you may get some victory, but it may be a victory that will compromise you and dishonor God. You don't want that type of victory. Hallelujah. You want the one that what? Will bless you and glorify God. So you got to take hold and hold tightly. Okay, let me change the gear so I try to touch. I put my nose online. So many things there. Jesus already won the victory. But you cannot enter the victory without faith. Because 1 John 5, 4 says that whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. Is it automatically? Is it automatically? It's no. It's not automatically. He said this is the victory that overcomes the world. What? And I said, but you promised me that if I give my life to Christ, everything will be okay. I'm sure somebody has told you that. Huh? See, if I get born again, all my troubles are over. Yes and no. Yes, because the victory is in Christ. No, because you have to take oath and oath tightly. He said, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. That's how you take oath. Every promise of God in your life needs taking hold of. If you don't take hold of it, you will not experience it the way you should. You just be depending on mercy. Many times, what people call grace is mercy. He said, I can do as I like. I'm under grace. It's mercy. The only reason why you will do something wrong and God will not destroy you is what? It's mercy. Hello? The only reason why you get away with something that even your conscience is telling that this thing is not really right, but it's not too bad, but it's not really right, is mercy. But let me tell you something. Mercy does not prevent judgment. It only delays it. Mercy does not prevent judgment. You know the word we end with judgment? Yeah? And it says that his mercies never come to an end. Yet the word we end with judgment. His mercies never come to an end. But the word we end with what? No, mercy delays judgment. It doesn't prevent it. Hallelujah. But grace, what grace does is grace empowers you to do what you cannot do in your own power. Grace empowers you to experience a miracle that is not humanly possible. Someone was born deaf. Hallelujah. Grace turns that deafness into hearing. Hallelujah. Someone has been declared barren. Let me explain. There are different levels of declaration of barren. Someone has gone for a test now. You know, I don't know. Thank God for the way things are done in some advanced countries. Yeah? I'm telling you a real case. Someone has gone for tests for IVF. Yeah? They save big money. Now the clinic responds back and say, we have tested you. IVF will not work on you. Take back your money. Now it's a different country that I know. They will not reveal that information because they are in business. Anyway, They've collected the money. It's not a matter of that they will just pay. They have collected it. They will make sure they burn every last penny of that money, trying and everywhere that they know will not work. Amen. But that's just the earthly report. What grace does is to say, yes, it's not possible. But I, the Lord, hallelujah, I will do exceeding abundantly above all you ask or think. You know what? He created the womb and the fallopian tube and the egg. Hallelujah. That's what grace does. Grace is empowerment to overcome. Don't steal mercy. Mercy for babies. Yeah. You need mercy. We all need mercy. When you fall short, you need what? Don't keep falling short all your life. Because you will enter the best. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You want to enter the best. Hallelujah. You want to change situation and circumstances and bring glory to God. Hallelujah. That's what the Bible says. Psalm says, I shall not die. But I will what? I will live. To do what? Declare the good words of God. Dying means, for me, if you tell me to change it, I say, I'm not going down. I'm not going down. When symptoms show up, I'm not immune to symptoms. I'm not immune to challenges. None of us is. Hallelujah. They say, maybe, the pastor doesn't go through anything. That's why he doesn't understand. No. God ensures that the pastor goes to this, so he will understand. Because you need to understand before you can preach it well. Hallelujah. When symptoms show up, I've symptoms show up in me that I felt as if I was dying. I'm telling you. I have to use my faith. Hallelujah. That's how you overcome. Where's the victory? In your faith. You take hold. You lay hold. You hold fast. You hold tightly. I said the word of God came out from my spirit. I said, no, I'm not going down. I'm not going down. You see, when you're going through something, see God. Anytime you're seeing too much of what you're going through, see God. What is God able to do? Log into that like the prodigal son. Log in to what God is able to do like the prodigal son. He said, Father, give me my own part. That's audacity of faith. Hallelujah. That was a good part. Let's commend him. That was good. He misused it. That's what's wrong. His asking was not what was wrong. Bible says, ask and you shall. Have you ever found a place in the Bible that says, don't ask? Hello? For £5. You can show me anyway. The Bible says, don't ask. That the father said, don't ask. Have you ever seen it? Never. They said, don't ask. He said, ask. Someone say, ask. Yeah, there are places in the Bible say that you explains why you ask and you do not receive. James. He said, you ask and you do not receive because you want to spend it on your selfish desires. But someone say, which desire is not selfish? If I'm hungry. Do I want the food to come to my belly or yours? You know? If I want to buy nice trainers, yeah? Do I want you to put it on me? So what does it mean that you ask to spend on your selfish desires? Can somebody explain that to me? I've already given you the answer today. Let me open there. Go to James. James chapter 3. I'm going to try our youth now. We have at least 3-4 youth here. So, this question is to you first. James chapter 3, open there. James chapter 3. Is it 3 or 2? He said, you ask and you receive not. Who can find it for me? Yes, I think it's 4. James 4. Am I missing it? If you find it before me, let me know. Yeah? Is it 2 or 3? James 4 verse 3. Yes. Please, let's now read. Let me see what we're going to take from 2. Yes, 3. Yes. Let's have one of the youth read it. James chapter 4 verse 3. You ready? Yeah. Good. And then the question will come. James 4, 3. Let's go for it.
And even when you ask, you don't get it because...
Wait. Thank you. Thank you for your... Thank you. Thank you very much. Please, read from verse 2.
You want what you don't have.
You want what you don't have.
So you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it. So you fight and wage war to take it away from them.
Okay, now, let's now move deeper. Yes, continue.
Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it.
You don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. Continue.
And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure.
Okay. In verse 23, we explain like never before. It's so unpacked. In fact, I'm reading and I'm seeing something I've not seen before. Why does the Bible say that you ask and you don't receive because you want to spend on your selfish desires? When we all know that desires are selfish, when we are there. If you need anything, it's personal to you, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, there's a good thing to ask for things for the church and whatever, but when you're asking for something personal, yeah, it's not about you. Yeah, so what does the Bible mean? Yes? You want to say anything, any youth in the church? Why is the Bible says that you don't receive what you ask because you want to spend it on your selfish desires? What is the reasoning behind that? Or is my question not clear? Youth first, any? Steven, Sean, Chichi? Yeah? Why can you ask something from God and he doesn't give you because he said you are being selfish? What can be the reason? Yeah, let me try the youth first. Anyone? Okay, we move to the... Yes, let's try it. Let's give you a chance. God doesn't give you something you want. He said you ask, now you ask. But he didn't give you.
Is it because of his judgment and the way he chooses whether it's righteous for you to have something or not?
Not really. Because he says you ask. He gave you the reason. The reason is that you want to spend it on your selfish desires. But how do we understand that? What is selfish about a desire that God will not give? So you are correct in that sense. But what is selfish about a desire that... Because I think that desires are selfish anyway. Yes. Youth. Sorry. Yeah. Good. Then I come to you. Then I go to the others.
What you're asking for doesn't glorify the name of God.
If what you are... Everyone put your hands together for Chichi. I'm not saying that's the full answer, but that's a good part of the answer. Yes? Just tell her what you want to say before.
Yeah, it depends if you're asking for a necessity or a want.
So, yes. So, if you're asking for it, are you trying to say that... Yes. So, let's... Thank you for that. I will touch on it. So, it depends if you're asking for what you need or what you want. But let's go back to that. Can you read that verse again? Verse 2. What did he say?
You want what you don't
You
have.
What? You want. So is that a want or a need? A want. Let's go again. James 4:3 and 4:2. Go to the last sentence in James 4:2. Listen to it very well.
Yet you don't have
what you need. Is it what you need? Let's take another version. Yes, King James or New King James? The last line of James 4:2. What does it say?
It says, ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not.
Okay? So it doesn't make it. You do have not because you ask not. But he says want. He didn't actually say need. He said want. You know what you want. Yeah? But I thank you for the answer. Any other answer, adult? Any other answer now? That is, that is still different. And I will summarize it. Yes?
I mean, it could be what potentially could lead you into trouble.
Yes! That's right. But you may not know. You may not know. Hallelujah. Sometimes your life is on a standstill. Things are not moving the way you are, as fast as you want them to move. I don't think you are in the same situation. You are the only one in this situation. I know the vision God gave me for this church. I know the numbers I'm to be pastoring, ultimately. Thousands. Yeah? But things that it is may not be moving as fast as you want it. Because you will never understand how fast I want this to move. Hallelujah. And you think, oh, maybe God is not answering. But sometimes, the delay, God is hiding you in the cleft of his rock. Preserving you for unnecessary dangers that could destroy you that early. Well, you don't know. You think your life is on the standstill. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Yes, any other answer there? Okay, let's move on. Yes, I'll take you. And then we'll move on.
I was just going to say, if you're asking for the wrong motive.
Yeah, for the wrong thing. Hallelujah. So I want to say that the best answer, which I would like to use to summarize, is that, you see, a desire, whatever you ask God for, if ultimately it cannot be used to bring him the glory, it's a selfish motive. Now let me explain. When you are hungry and you ask for food and you eat and you use that energy to serve God, it's not selfish. But if you finish eating the food and you go and beat up, you know, the reason why you didn't beat him or beat her up is because you don't have energy. Same desire, different outcomes. Can you see? Hallelujah. It's not your want that is a problem. It is how it will be used. Hallelujah. If I go to an experience, yeah, and something has gone wrong, when God restores me, how am I going to still use the new blessing? Am I going to repeat the same mistakes? Because if I have, I've not learned anything. Are you with me? Hello? Are you following the pattern? Yeah? God wants to be glorified in your life. Settle it. That's the deal. Hallelujah. Anything God does for you outside of that is mercy. You may say, oh, but I know somebody that they are not living right and they are not serving God and they are prospering. It's mercy. It's mercy. Because anybody not living right is already a slave of the devil. Anybody not living right is already on their way to hell. So if you see them prospering, it's God's mercy. Because remember, if we didn't receive mercy, nobody will stand. But for you as a child of God, God wants to be glorified in your life. Hallelujah. So yes, it's not against your wants. And of course, you know that he is committed to meeting your needs. But both in meeting your needs and your wants, if you want your prayers to be answered, you need to do some readjustment inside you about living for the glory of God. Hallelujah. When you are committed to live for the glory of God, your prayers will just be getting through. Because God knows that he has a good interest in that matter. Praise the Lord. Yeah. I know you went for a sprint. Did you run sprint? No? Long distance. Hallelujah. And the mom is working so hard. Say, why? Say, you know all these things, you can glorify God. But if your focus is just about, how the name of my father. You know, my father worked hard. He brought me up well. Now, I'm going to lift up his name in UK. That's a selfish motive. Praise the Lord. What is a drive? What is the motivation? How will God be glorified? What is being lost in the process? Hallelujah. Oh yeah, let me just eat this because I know you won't mind. Yeah? That's love. When we are in love, I mean God's love. You know what I mean? Not like judge or careful love. Yeah. You won't mind. If you compromise the spiritual upbringing of your child because you want to go and do something that will bring God glory, you've missed the point. Hallelujah. See this student, how old is teaching now? Before long, she'll be what? 16. Before you know it, she'll be what? 18. Praise the Lord. It means that you've done most of the hard work. Hallelujah. But the hard work really is spiritual. Hallelujah. One of the best things you can do as a parent is ensure that your child is in church every Sunday. Now, I know that there will be one or two times you traveled or you went somewhere. Hallelujah. That's the minimum you can do for your child. That's the what? The minimum. If you want them to glorify God, because if you don't give them the spiritual training, they can succeed, but they will not use it to glorify God. Hallelujah. If on Sunday you are not in church, your child is not in church, yeah? They may succeed in what you took them for. Win the gold medal. But when they grow up, they will not even go to church too. If that's how you taught them. They will repeat the same thing and they will amplify it. Are you with me? And of course, you will give account for that. So, I do not start about glorifying God without my relationship with God. You can't cut the relationship and say, God, I will glorify you. No. It's the relationship that helps you to glorify God. Why? Because through relationship, you can make the right choices. Praise the Lord. So, when you bring your child to church, you are doing a great... That's the foundation of glorifying God. Please don't misunderstand me. It's not like it's the tick in the box of coming to church. But what they get prepares them for life. So they don't have to start from the scratch again. You see? Hallelujah. There are many things I didn't learn from my spirit spiritually. So, imagine I learned all those. By now, I'll be far, far ahead. Hallelujah. But you don't want to repeat that mistake. I am not trying to repeat the legacy of my father. And I love my father and I respect him. Hallelujah. Because my father is not Jesus. Jesus is my father now. Hallelujah. My goal is to make sure that I what I do now helps the next generation to find it easier. Do you know? If you get it right spiritually, your children will enjoy the benefits of your labor. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you that labor is not going from morning to night to 10 pounds. That's not what we're talking about. It's the training you give them. Hallelujah. It's the spiritual training you give them. If you're a prayerful mom, some things will go easy for your children. They won't even experience it. You say 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 by your right hand. You will not, they will not even know. They are enjoying the benefit of your labor. Hallelujah. They don't have to go through. I don't follow that theory. If I struggled to get a mortgage, my children don't have to struggle to get a mortgage. But how am I going to lay that legacy? I start spiritually. Hallelujah. If I have conditioned the future of my prayer future of my children through prayer, they will just, you know, find some things are coming easy for them. They will know why. It's called grace. But somebody paid for grace. Grace is not free. I mean, grace is free. Grace is what? But it's not cheap. Grace is what? But it's not what? Somebody always pays for it. Motivated by love. Are you motivated by love enough? Hallelujah. 5 more minutes, I'll finish. See, last week I didn't teach much. I rushed it. There was even no tea and coffee. So today I want to teach. Amen. You have to hold fast. Now, if you want to overcome in life, there are 5 things you have to refuse. At least 5. What are they? You want to overcome in life. You want to overcome the darkness. You must refuse at least 5 things. You are to refuse it and not allow it inside your life. What are the 5 things you must refuse? At least. There are many more. Just keep them away from your life and then you find that overcoming will be easy. Yes? Let me give you a foundation. Open to James chapter 4 verse 7. That's the last place I'm opening today. James chapter 4 verse 7. James chapter 4 verse 7. So we're still in this James 4. James chapter 4. That's the last verse I'm opening. And we aim to finish within 5 minutes. James chapter 4 verse 7. Yes. Can somebody read it, please? James chapter 4 verse 7. Wait. Just wait. Let's amplify you.
Submit yourself
Submit yourself to what?
To God.
To God. Yes.
Resist the devil.
Then you can resist the devil.
And he will flee from you.
And he will what? Can you just read me the last line, James 4:8, the first line there?
Submit yourself.
No, James 4:8.
James 4:8. Come near to God.
Come near to God.
And he will come near to you.
Who does the coming? Who does the first move in coming? Who does it? God or you? According to that verse. Who does it? So, let me tell you something. Stop praying like this and say, God, hold me close. I know there's a song like that. It's an emotional song because you want to be held. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Don't pray like that. Don't say, God, draw me close. Yeah, it's not in the Bible because you just read it. What did your Bible say? I know you like KJV. It said, draw near to God. And then, so don't put the responsibility on God. This is the point I'm trying to tell you. The point of drawing there is not on God, it's on you. Let me tell you why. God is always on. God is always, look, God is always ready to embrace you. You don't need to beg him. Hello? God is always ready to hold you and to embrace you. You don't need to pray it. He told you already, I will never leave you, nor what? What you need to do is fall into his arms. Hello? You just need to do what? It's not, it's like a mother trying to, you know, like that becomes a mom and mom is putting her hands and she's just rolling her eyes and, you know, like she's not sure what she was. No, that's God. He's ready. He's there. He may not feel like it, but that's his permanent position. He changes not. Really? You are to fall in. I say, Father, Lord, I just rest in you. I just lean on you. I just depend on you. Oh Lord, I don't understand, but I just trust you. Oh God, I just leaning on you. I just trusting you. Hallelujah. You draw close to God. Then he what?
He draw close to you.
Don't stay at home on Sunday, say because you are feeling discouraged. Drag your feet. It's so long you can have a car. If you don't have a car, take a taxi. If you don't have a taxi, call Pastor Ben. Hallelujah. Come to church. You have drawn close. Then leave it. Leave it there. See what God will do. Praise the Lord. Five things you need to do to refuse to overcome. We finish there. One, you need humility of me. Yes, but that's not refusing. Five things you need to refuse. Yeah? One, refuse to give in. Resist anything the devil throws at you. Don't accept it. Don't say, okay, I'll just manage this. There's nothing I can do about it. No. Use your faith. James 4:7 says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Hallelujah. Remember, it's not a fight against flesh and blood. It's a spiritual one by using your faith. Secondly, you need to refuse to fear. I want you to understand that you can make a choice not to fear. And the Bible says, 2 Timothy 1 7, we say, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but what? Power, love, and a sound mind. Say, sister, say, how do you refuse to fear? You say it. Say, I refuse to fear. Hallelujah. I say, how do you resist devil? You say it. Say, I resist you this symptom. Not welcome here. Not welcome. And change your imagination. Don't see yourself sick and diseased. See yourself well and functioning. Hallelujah. If you are believing God for marriage, don't see yourself single at 50. That's fear. You know, because they will be planting those pictures in your mind. Change the inner picture. Begin to see what God will do. Hallelujah. If you are trusting God for a job. Don't see yourself, you know, loafing, you know, for the next 1 year. See. Because now, when you can say it, you can say it, and once you are seeing it and saying it, you are creating it through the power of the Word of God. Thirdly, refuse to worry. Because James 1 says, a double-minded man He said, "Let it, he's unstable in all his ways. And that man should not think that he can receive anything from the Lord." Fourthly, refuse to doubt. No, sorry, that was refuse to doubt. Refuse to worry. Because he said, be careful for nothing. He said, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. She said, "Oh, how do I refuse to worry?" Just say it. Say, "I refuse to worry. I'm trusting you, Lord. I don't know the way, but I trust you. You will make a way where there seems to be." But lastly, then we finish there. Refuse to give up. You know, there's a difference between giving in and giving up. Which one is worse?
Giving up?
Yeah. You know, somebody just give it up. Say, "I just leave it. Let God do what he wants to do." I've tried. Hallelujah. Do you know that sometimes when you say that, you forgot that it wasn't God that tried to mess you up, it was the devil. Hallelujah. It wasn't God, it was the devil. Don't give up. Even if your faith is small, just continue to apply it. Hallelujah. Just continue to apply your faith. Say, if you have a faith as small as a what? I know it may be small, just apply it. Hallelujah. The worst thing is not having faith as small as mustard seed. The worst thing is not applying it. Let's rise up and pray. My goal as a pastor always is to help you on your journey. You know, my commitment as a pastor is that you can enter your promised land. And by the way, your promised land is not heaven. Your promised land is everything that God wants to do in your life in this world. Every victory, every breakthrough, every deliverance, every healing, every salvation, every transformation. That's your promised land. So today, I just begin to confess and say, I refuse to give in to the devil. I refuse to give in to negative symptoms and challenges. I refuse that in the name of Jesus. I refuse to fear. I refuse to fear. God has not given me the spirit of fear, whether the fear of the present or the fear of the future. I refuse to fear. I have the spirit of power and love and a sound mind. I refuse to doubt. Yes, it doesn't look like it, but I have laid hold. Have you laid hold? I have laid hold spiritually. I say, have you laid hold? That thing you have been living up for, have you laid hold of it? I have laid hold with my faith. And I refuse to let it go. I hold tightly to what I believe God to do in my life. I refuse to doubt. I refuse to worry. He said, your worry cannot even have a single moment to your life. Your worry cannot even have a single cubit to your height. So why are you worrying? I say, Father, I trust you. I may not know how, I may not know when, but you will do it again. And finally, I refuse to give up. Bible says, cast not away your confidence. Because if they give you reward, like one of our brothers said, persevere. After you have suffered a little while, it will establish you. It will strengthen you. It will settle you. I say, don't give up for any reason. Because if you give up, you just open the door and the devil come in. That's not your posture. I refuse to give up. I stay in faith. I stay in faith. I stay in faith until I enter the victory. Because with God, all things are possible. Thank you.